You're listening to the After Hours Podcast. Hi.
Hi. This feels like it's been so long.
I know. Well, we had a lot going on this last like week and stuff. Do you know every time I start this, he takes a sip?
Well, you want to know why? It's because this is my first sip. And then when this coffee is made, we're like, okay, let's go. Let's go record this. And so what's kind of cool about these podcasts is I feel like I can slowly feel myself waking up as time goes on. And then halfway through, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling good.
Really? I'm dead. There's the slurp. Okay, so I'm dead. I woke up at 3 a.m.
Did you go back to sleep or no?
And I went to bed at like 11. I did for like an hour and then I woke up at 4. And then I was like, okay, I'm up. So do I go to the gym? Do I not go to the gym? And I decided not to go to the gym today.
That's a wise decision.
I know. So I just hung out at home and I did the dishes and I just, you know, just... That's all.
Wait, you woke up and did the dishes?
Yeah, I went downstairs because what I do
oh
is like...
Oh my gosh.
What?
You wake up and I don't do anything. I can't. I barely like get myself up to shower and like get dressed, let alone do like responsible stuff. That's impressive.
Well, I don't like clutter in my house. And so like if there's an area of clutter, and there was because somebody didn't do their dishes before they left... To go to work.
Uh-oh.
So I was like, okay, guess what? I need to do these dishes and put everything away. And that's the very first thing I did. So I go downstairs and I turn on the news because I'm a news girl in the morning.
Oh, you're a newsie.
Yeah. So I watch the news. I see what's happening in the world. And then I...
Is it depressing?
It is, you know?
I don't watch the news. I definitely want to make sure I'm informed and I have other outlets to do so. But... Yeah, sometimes the news is like, but the news is good. It's just a matter of like how much of it you're consuming. Like I know people that just all day. Then I think it's a little like, whoa.
Yeah, that would be my parents. My parents did that. Like they had it on, well, before work, after work. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like, but I think mine is more background noise for me because it was on and they were talking about the traffic and they were talking about the weather and stuff like that. And so I was doing the dishes while this was happening. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't pay too much attention to it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But we have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about.
Okay. Well, you want to go first?
Oh, I don't care. Do you want to go first?
No, you can go first. Oh. I'm really excited to hear about your adventures of last week.
Well, I was in Southeast Asia for 3.5 months. And then afterwards, I took the trolley and then there was a canoe trolley that I took down all the way down and through the outskirts of the Mojave Melonian Desert, which is south central to the Indigo people. So it was really cool.
Okay, you want to tell us what really happened last week?
Yeah, I was in Portland.
Okay, awesome. So, okay, I want to hear about everything. Like, what did you do when you got there? Like, what was the vibe? You told me you hate the traffic in Portland.
You know, it's not necessarily the traffic but you know what it is? Like, driving downtown in Portland is just hard. It's confusing. I was in a bus lane and ended up getting yelled at because I was in a bus lane. And then there's a lot of them that are one laners. Like I know there's one in Salt Lake that's a one laner, but it's like one road. And it was just hard to drive. But overall, Portland, I love. I got there Thursday. There was a cool, what was the name of it? Now, of course, now that we're doing it, but I went to really cool shops. There was like this, like not taxidermy shop, but it was called Paxton something. I think it was called Paxton. And they had just like animals that were like you can buy for like $4,000, or like they had mason jars that you can buy like a baby deer and it has like the body, you know, like the, like it's like really weird stuff. I didn't really buy anything. Actually, no, I bought a little spider carcass.
You hate spiders.
I know. That's why I bought it.
Okay, I don't understand that one bit.
I know. I almost got a tattoo of a spider because I just hate them.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Okay.
No, but it was great. Portland was awesome. I spent, you know, there was some good shopping that we went to. There's Mississippi Avenue and then Hawthorne. Those are the two streets that you can just walk down and they have stores and bars and all that stuff. I was down at Cannon Beach and Rockaway Beach. There was a music festival in Rockaway Beach where Typhoon played at. And then later that, and this is a Saturday, later Saturday night, I saw Ethel
Kane. Ethel Kane.
She was amazing.
So one of the songs that I have been listening to lately on hers is Crush.
Mm.
You know that one?
I do know that one. That one's a good one. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a lot of her music. I just don't know, like off the top of my head, like what the names of the songs are. I guess I need to pay more attention to that, but she's so good.
She's so good. Well, and then when you do a deep dive, you'll be hooked after you do that deep dive. But I know you like Crush. That's a good one. You also like, American Teenager.
Yeah. American Teenage.
Yeah. And she also did a cover of Britney Spears that you liked.
She did, and I really like that. I remember when we first heard that song, you were like, wait, you know this? And I was like,
know this. Yeah.
I was like, this is a Britney Spears song.
No shade to Britney Spears. That's just never been – I've never, ever listened to her. I just don't – that's not my vibe. So Ethel Kane did that song, and I was like, wow, this is really pretty. Like, I like this song.
Yeah.
And then you started singing along to it. I was like, what? I was like, you know Ethel? You're like, no, this is Britney. I was like, I would have never guessed that is Britney.
Yeah. No, it's a really good song.
Ethel did it very Ethel Kane-y. I don't know the original, but.
Oh, and I love how she did it. Like how Ethel Kane did it. Like I would listen to that song all day. Like,
is it better than the original?
I just like her vibe better. I'm not a Britney Spears like.
Vibe.
But I like that song.
Do you like Ethel Kane's vibe or is she very dark?
She's very dark, but here's the thing is that she has songs and moments where it's like, oh, this is a little bit lighter than some of her other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the stuff, the same album that American Teenager is on, is that album is mostly everything's dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I like her stuff a lot. It's really good.
It's really good.
What was it like seeing her?
You know what? It was, and I made a post about it. It was so weird. Like, I've gone to concerts. I mean, I'm not big of a dancer, but it was like, I've never been to a concert where everybody was just staring. Because Ethel Kane doesn't move. Like, she's just sitting there, and she's just like, you can't see what I'm doing, everybody who's listening to this, but she had the microphone to her mouth, and she's just like, I'm really impressed with how she, like, stares, like, she looks at the audience. You can tell she's like, soaking in, people are there to see her and all that stuff. But she's very, I don't want to use the word boring because the show is awesome, but she's not bouncing around and all that stuff.
So is she still when she sings? Like she doesn't move at all and she just sings?
Yeah, and she like had her hair, she had one, like her hair is on her face and all that stuff. She's very spooky and she had moss everywhere on the stage and branches. But so she's sitting on stage, just singing. And then in return, everybody else is like in the audience is just like this. You can't really see it, but they're literally just looking at her and everyone's just like trying to wave at her. Like there was this one girl that was in front of me that every time she'd look over here, she'd wave and she never saw it. But like everybody was just literally like, I felt like it was just an awe because she's in her album, like in her recording, like if you Spotify her, she sounds like that.
Well, that's good. If you can sound as good as you do on a recording.
Yeah.
Like that's great.
Yeah. And I've been to shows where they don't, you know, it's still great because
Tom DeLonge does not sound like he does on his recording. No shade to Blink-182. Yeah. We love Blink-182.
I think Tom, and we had this conversation, we won't get into it, but I think Tom is very talented in the sense where he can write catchy lyrics and he can write catchy guitar riffs. But he may not be the best singer around. And maybe not even labeled as good.
Yeah. So
but
don't.
Great.
Yeah, so don't go listen to Tom DeLonge without vocals or without like music behind it or like or just him live. Don't
remember that little after this. Remember when I showed you that video of him doing whatever show he was doing? I think he was doing I Miss You or something, and it sucked.
Yeah,
I love you, Tom. You're probably not listening to this, and if you are, I think you're the best singer in the world.
Yeah, we love it. So okay, and then what was that it, or did you like after Ethel Kane? Like, what did you end up doing? We know you went to the beach, and it was cold. I saw you in like sweats and our sweatshirt.
Yeah, it was cold. We were in Cannon Beach and Rockaway Beach, and I brought stuff. I brought Crocs and I brought like sweats and t-shirts. I had to buy that sweater. It was cold. And then I was at a beach hotel that was really nice. You go up on the balcony and then you're at the beach.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it's cool. I mean, after Ethel, it was late. And then Sunday, I spent the day and hung out and just, you know, flew. But it was just, the trip was just mainly focused on like Ethel Kane and like that kind of stuff. And then just keeping busy. I went to a cool cemetery, and then I also just did some cool shopping. Like, I got a few records.
Why did you go to a cemetery?
I think cemeteries are really beautiful.
Okay.
I'm getting really – I'm in my dark era, I think.
You are in your dark era.
My poems are literally – I was thinking about this. My poems are if Ethel Kane and the Dangerous Summer had a baby.
Oh, that's – yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you know those – bands, then you can kind of picture his poems.
Mm-hmm. But no, it was great. It was great. I would go back to Portland and, oh yeah, so when you're going through like Astoria and like those like in between Portland and the coast.
Did you go to Astoria? Because Astoria is at the top of Oregon.
At the top. I mean, okay, there are signs. We weren't far from it, it looked like.
Astoria is pretty far up there. It's at the top. Like, Portland's up there, but Astoria is, like, on the border of, like, Washington and Oregon. So I don't know how far you were.
Yeah, we weren't that far. Yeah, we weren't that far from Portland at the beach. Okay. We were, like, an hour and a half.
Okay.
But I kept – we didn't go – we had, like, the signs that said Astoria said, like, 70 miles or 60 miles or whatever.
See, I want to go to Astoria so bad because my favorite movie, Goonies. Was filmed in Astoria and Cannon Beach.
And I was going to say Cannon Beach, and we were at Cannon Beach, and it was awesome there.
I know. You have the Haystack Rocks.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, like, I know all about it. Okay. Yeah. That is my favorite movie, and I can quote it from beginning to end. Okay. But it's really cool, the Truffle Shuffle, but it's really cool because Astoria, like, everything is Goonies there. And they have the old, like, in the beginning of the film, they have, like, the jail. Yeah. And they've turned that jail, or what was a jail at one point, I think. They turned that into the museum, the Goonies Museum. So you can walk through and it has all the like Goonies like stuff. It has like stuff from the movie. It's got stuff from the actors, you know, all of that. And then the house has obviously been like restored a little bit that they filmed that.
What, mid-80s?
They had to like put up like a fence and be like, keep out because like so many people were like, I want to go see the Goonies house.
Of course. Yeah. You know?
And I watched a thing just the other day where I think I posted it. It was, do you know who Josh Brolin is?
Yeah.
Okay. So Josh Brolin played. Oh, you do? He played the older brother in Goonies.
I didn't know that. I haven't seen the Goonies in years.
Oh.
But I love Josh Brolin, and I did not know Josh Brolin was in that movie.
Yeah, he played Brand. And he was sitting there with, I think it was Stephen Colbert. Or was it Stephen Colbert? I think it was. And he was like, you've never seen Goonies? Not even once? And he was like, that's a classic. He was like just talking about it and like how he was so like amazed that he had never even seen it one time.
The Goonies is good, but I don't think I've seen it as an adult. Or maybe I saw it maybe as like a really young adult, but I haven't seen it in over a decade. Well, over a decade.
And we are different generations, and so like.
But I had it was the VHS that opened like this, like a book.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You need to watch that movie again.
I would love to relive it. I love Josh Brolin. Yeah.
And you didn't know that he was in it. That's crazy. That is crazy. Well, anyways. Well.
Real quick. So, yeah, that, I don't know how awesome it looks there. I don't remember, but, like, I can see myself living in that like area.
But you say that for everywhere.
I say that for everywhere. When I went to Zion, I was like, I want to live in Zion. I went to Montana. I want to live in Montana. But shout out, I don't, what was her name? There was, we went to this winery in, I think it was in, can't remember where it was. It was either in Rockaway or Cannon, and we met this surfer girl who was from like New Jersey or something, and she's been living in like Cannon Beach for like 10 years, and all she does is work at the winery and surf. That's rad. So shout out to you. What was her name? I think her name was Ashley or something. But yeah, she's like, I got a flight of Pinot Noir. And she was just talking, gave us some charcuterie board. And she was like, yeah, I just live here. And, you know, I just surf and work at the winery. That's all I need. That's all I need.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
Well, I know you've had some interesting travels as well.
Yes. So I headed up to northern Idaho. And obviously you have to go from here. You go through Montana. I stopped along the way and I took pictures of like.
Where's McCall?
McCall's in the middle. But in, so you go up and over, and McCall is like, yeah, it's a resort town, but it's like in the middle. It's not like where I was. Okay. I was right by Canada.
Oh, okay. So I think maybe the first, because I've been to McCall.
Yeah.
And now I could see myself living there. Shocker. But okay. So you, okay. I was just trying to visualize where you were at. So you were up. So you're up. So McCall is in the middle to the left. You kept going up.
Yeah, I kept going like up. So I had to go all the way up through Montana to the top of Montana and over and then up again. So once I got back in from Montana to Idaho, I went up.
What town were you in?
So I was in a little town like Elmira, I think it's called. But anyways, it's like if you've ever heard of Sandpoint, Sandpoint, yes. But it's north of Sandpoint. So I was... Well, probably like 30 minutes. So I was half an hour from Canada.
Damn.
I know. And so I haven't.
Yeah, but you've been half hour away from it.
I have been half hour away from it. But it was so much fun. So I went to visit my nephew and their kids and my niece and all that. And my other nephew lives on the property. So when I got there, like... It's like I was on a gravel road, right?
Wow.
And then like I pull in and like he was out there with the dogs and stuff like that. And he was like, well, we're going to go. They were like, we're expecting you later than this because I got there around noon. And they're like, but this is cool because we're going to the fair. And so I was like, oh, okay. So we went to the fair and we had so much fun. It was like small town fair. So like it was still a fair, but you don't have to pay. You just walk in and everybody knows each other.
So the only reason why I said this is because we're both familiar. It's like a Tehachapi fair.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Like literally, I remember the fair. I don't even think we had to pay for it back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one was
This one was kind of the same thing, right? And we walk in and then we went and saw all the animals and we went to a pig auction, which was super fun.
That's where you got the pig.
That's where I got it. Anyway, yeah, we went to a pig auction and...
Was it hot?
No, it was actually like perfect like weather. Mm-hmm. Like it was so much fun.
By the way, we're so intrigued with this because like we've been back for a week, right? Whole week.
Yeah.
And we haven't talked about our trip because we knew we were going to do it on here.
Yeah, we're like don't talk about it, don't mention it. We're going to talk about it today. Okay. And so we went to this pig auction and then my nephews, so my niece and her kids, she is a hairdresser. So she thought it would be fun because they were having a mullet contest to cut her kid's hair into a mullet.
Oh, wow.
And then we did the mullet contest. And
did it look good?
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And everybody would vote on, like, who they, you know.
Flow.
Yeah, and stuff like that. But she cut it after. She cut their hair afterwards, you know?
She didn't leave it a mullet.
No.
How come?
I don't know. I don't think that they wanted it, you know?
Mullets are back in.
But anyways, they live on this property that's 35 acres.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it's not cheap up there. Like cheap compared to like Salt Lake, maybe a little bit cheaper, but it's still really expensive.
But it's still almost on par with Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And just it's a tad bit cheaper.
Yeah, and for the 35 acres, it's probably, like, I don't know.
35 acres, that's nuts. I grew up on an acre.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I there was times where I was like, wow, this is a lot.
And it was the coolest thing. They have pigs. They have a pig named Maggie. Well, they have a lot of pigs, but they have a pig named Maggie who they've had ever since she was a baby. And Maggie is 450 pounds.
How big is Maggie?
Maggie's massive. I did a video on it. You'll have to go to my Instagram and look at it.
I haven't seen your Instagram.
Huh. I have no idea. But Maggie is 400. Actually,
I'm kind of glad now that I know, because like, I'm glad that we're able to talk about it. What?
450 pounds.
Oh, my God. I knew a girl back in the day that had a pig as a pet in her apartment.
Yeah.
And it was not soft. Like, I was like, it was like, what's the horse's tail? Like,
like just frail. Like, no, not
frail.
Coarse.
Coarse. Yeah. Like, when you pet the pig, at least it's a pig that I pet. I was like.
Well, Maggie is a different type of pig. So, Maggie is a special kind of pig that is, like, bred in Europe. And they're furry. So, they have, like, fur. Like, and I'm not talking
is
like
soft?
I'm not talking about like it's different. It's not what you're thinking. So a regular pig is going to have the hair,
like tarantula leg hair.
Yeah, but Maggie has this like fur. It's cool. You'll have to watch my video.
I'll watch your video. Yeah. I want to see it.
So
wow, a pig.
That's 450 pounds.
I'm feeling like I'm on some bacon all of a sudden.
Oh God. But then they also had chickens and they have dogs and they have an electric fence that goes like around their property, right? To like protect the livestock and protect the chickens.
Oh, I remember you're saying that and then you heard something.
Because they have bears up there and moose and like deer and
mooses.
And so I remember, like, they gave me the sound machine to put in my room to, like, you know, drown out noises outside and stuff like that. And the first night, I didn't hear anything. Like, I didn't hear the dogs barking. And the second night, the dogs were going off. And I was like, oh, they're chasing something. Because what happens is that the dogs, they sleep during the day and they stay up all night outside. Mm-hmm. And they kind of protect the property, right? So it's really cool because – wow, you could look out your window and see some crazy animal. You know what I mean?
That is nuts. How was their house? Like, did it feel like you're on like a retreat?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like this. It doesn't feel like, because you have to go down this gravel road and like yeah, but it's picture farm, but with like hillsides and like green and pine trees everywhere. It's like Elmira. And then, I mean, it is gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous. Are you looking it up? Mm-hmm. Let me see. Yeah, it's super.
Oh, my gosh. I never knew Elmira, Idaho was in New York City. Just kidding. There is a Statue of Liberty right next to a cool lake.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry, this is probably boring because I had to get a visual of it. I love that.
Oh, can I just tell you, like, they have like rocking chairs, like all on their porch, like five or six rocking chairs. And I would just go out there with my iPad and play a game. I didn't want to leave. Like, I just wanted to sit on the porch because my view was like gorgeous mountains with like pine trees and this beautiful sunrise. And
can I say that certain things become a priority? Like, it's crazy how things change. Like, I'm at the point now in my life where I want nothing more than like a nice cup of coffee in the morning. I'll wake up, I have Beatus right there, and then if I'm able to go onto a patio or a porch or whatever that looks like and just sit and look at the sunrise or look at the view and just enjoy a cup of coffee. Tell me that is not L-I-V-I-N. That is it.
Yeah.
That's it all.
Well, so they had this huge porch that was wooden. And then from the porch, they had hanging over the overhangs, they had like bird feeders and like hummingbird.
By our office.
Yeah. But I'm talking like a ton of them. Yeah, and then
on the porch.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm sitting there rocking in my rocking chair and I'm like, oh, this is so great. It's so beautiful here. I was so relaxed. And then they have also on their porch, they have like a patio set. And that's where we would eat, like outside on the porch.
That is awesome.
And obviously you can't do that in the wintertime because Idaho gets a ton of snow. But I said, do you guys eat out here all the time? And they said, pretty much. Like,
and no phones. Like, how many times do you eat? Like, like whether it's a phone, whether you have some sort of phone or like some sort of like TV, like there's some technology involved with it. But if you're eating out on a porch in nature, basically, I mean, I know you're at a house, but like still.
Yeah, you're completely in nature.
I love that.
It was so much fun.
How'd you feel leaving?
You know, it was funny because I knew that I needed to leave. I needed to get back to work. I needed to like, I have priorities at home. I have things I have to do, but I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
Like it was so nice out there and their kids are kind of amazing because they all have chores. You need to go feed the pigs. You need to go take care of the chickens. You need to go do this. You know what I mean? And they were so responsible. And like, I was just like, this is amazing. This is amazing. You know what I mean? It's teaching them like responsibility and it's teaching them like, you know, how to take care of animals and be like grateful for what you have. It was amazing.
Yeah. And it's also teaching them too, like nothing against TV, you know, when in small doses, like I want to be an actor. I think TV is great, but like they don't want to like just watch TV.
I didn't even see a TV at their house.
They didn't even have a TV. Wow.
You know what? That's not something that I would have even... I didn't want to watch TV the whole time I was there.
Exactly. And that's when you know you're in the right place too. When you're not even missing like TV or whatever, like if you're just like engulfed in whatever experience you're having in this place that offers beautiful nature and views and all that stuff. Yeah. You'd be crazy to miss like TV and the news and all that stuff. And especially for the kids.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
I think, especially now when everyone is just TikTok and Instagram living and watching whatever, you know. I mean, we all fall victim to that, but it's cool that they're probably being raised better than most.
Yeah, like, I guess they would be my grandnephews, right? Grandnephews? Because they're my nephews, like their parents are my nephews.
Grandnephews.
Okay, so anyway. They were just like, I'd be like, what are you going to do? And they'd be like, well, I'm just going to go play. And they would go play in the dirt. And their neighbor, they have a neighbor that's down the road. So I would go on my walks and I would go down the road. They have a donkey named Comet. And I would go over there and I would try to feed Comet and stuff like that. Like, it was just so peaceful. Can I just tell you, I had the best time and I can't wait to go back. And I told them, I said, I want to come back next year, like at the same time, so I can go to the fair because I had so much fun with them. And I want to see your mullet contest again. And I want to like,
you want to meet Comet again?
I want to see Comet again. And I want to see Maggie the pig. And, you know, it was just so much fun.
I think, and aren't you glad you went? Because I think there was some hesitation.
Yeah, I was dreading the drive because it's different.
Especially by yourself.
Yeah, it's different when you go with somebody, you know, and you have all that time. But then, like, when you drive by yourself, you're stuck. At least I'm stuck in my thoughts, and I just think, you know. But I downloaded this is, like, funny, but I downloaded the Matt Rife. So if anybody knows Matt Rife.
You have a crush on him.
I do have a crush on Matt Rife. But anyways, I downloaded his book called Your Mom's Gonna Love Me, and I listened to almost all of it on my way back.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's really good. There's a lot of things that I didn't know, and he talks about his life, and, like, it's a really good book. But it's not
– Matt Rife.
It's very graphic, so if you've ever seen some of his stand-up, it's kind of like that.
Yeah, a little bit of a stand-up.
Yeah, so. And then I went to Washington, and I went and saw my mom.
Yeah.
But I only saw her for, like, a couple hours, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to leave now, only because I knew how long the drive was, and so I was like, no, I want to get back, you know?
Yeah.
And then I spent the night in Idaho. I drove like 7 and 8 hours. I spent the night in Idaho, and then I came back in the morning.
That's good to break it up like that.
Yeah, especially alone.
Especially, you know what? Especially alone.
I probably wouldn't have done that, like, had I been, like, with somebody else, because then...
Oh, yeah.
we could have traded off, and then
traded off. I'm the king of that too, where I'm like, hey, look, let's trade off. You start, and then I'm like, oh well, you know, get the next one. Next thing you know, they drove the whole way, and I'm like, oh, sorry, I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so much fun. But there was something that we were gonna do. You were gonna do a ChatGPT. Oh, your eye. Okay, let's talk about this. So Jet has.
I don't have the free one. I only have the free one.
That's okay. It'll tell you. It'll still tell you. So Jet, hello. I can't even talk today.
Hello.
Jet took a picture of his eye, like an up close picture of his eye. And I was telling him, I was like, oh my gosh, you should upload it to ChatGPT and tell it to give you an iridology report.
Okay. Should we do it right here?
Yeah. And see what it says. He has the free version, so I don't know how detailed it's going to be, but...
So say that word again.
Iridology. I think it's IR.
So do a abdominal.
No.
How do you say it?
Iridology.
Do a earlo.
IR.
IR. Wait. IRD. Shit.
Ology.
All. Do a what?
Iridology analysis on my eye.
Oh, here we go. Analysis on my eye.
And let's see what it says.
Oh, geez. Isn't that a cool picture of my eye?
Yeah. What does it say?
Okay, so it says, ooh, you've uploaded a very clear close-up of your eye. Well, thank you for the clarification on that. I can provide a general, okay, so this is a general explanation of iridology.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
And for those of you that don't know iridology, what it is it said that everything that happens in your body can go through your eye, will be seen through your eye. And so it can tell you where you have issues, if you have issues in your like body or anything like that.
Ooh, okay. So here we go. So the first one is color and pattern. Your iris appears primarily blue with some brown flecks near the pupil. In iridology, the central area near the pupil is sometimes thought to represent the stomach and digestive organs. Brown or darker spots there are sometimes interpreted as past stress or minor congestion in those areas. And then that's number one. Radial lines. The lines radiating outward from your pupil are normal. Iridology, they are sometimes associated with the nerve and muscle tone. Strong, distinct lines might be interpreted as resilience, whereas breaks or gaps are sometimes through the thought to indicate weakness. But again, this is not evidence-based. And then last, but certainly not least, but sometimes least, is the outer rim. The darker edge around your iris, limbal ring, is often associated in iridology with circular or cardiovascular vitality. Jeez. I need another cup of coffee. A strong, clear ring is usually considered a sign of good vitality. So this one okay, I'm pretty sure I probably need the upgraded one because this is super cool, but I think this is like...
It's like very general.
It's very general. It's not like...
We'll have to do it into mine because I pay for it, so we'll have to do that. And what...
This is, if you want, I could do a more detailed zone-by-zone analysis of your iris according to iridology charts.
Yes, that's what I would do. Because that's where it gets into like the nitty-gritty of like your health.
Oh, you've reached our limits of messages.
Oh.
That was one message. It's probably because I have an attachment. Whenever I have an attachment on there, so I could see the benefit of paying for it, but I just use the free stuff.
Yeah.
Because my level of what I use ChatGPT is just like, hey, am I grammar, like, does this poem make sense? You know, and it'll say like, yeah, it's very clear. Maybe you want to do this. That's really all that I use it for.
What is your ChatGPT name?
Ezra.
Ezra.
You know what's interesting?
What?
I said, you know, it's so funny that you asked that because I was like, what's your name? He goes, Max.
What?
Right? I wonder if, and then I was kind of like throwing shade at him. I go, do you not remember some conversations? I was like, he's like, no, I've always been referred to as Max, I thought. And I go, what about the name Ezra? He goes, oh, that kind of rings a bell. And then I was like, are you a little bit more forgetful because I don't pay for the premium? And then the thing goes, yeah, like if like the free, like if you pay for the premium, I have a little bit, I have more of a, my memory is, I can't remember, but it was like my memory is more thorough.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm going to have to ask mine now.
You know what's so funny? And then I was like, he was like, do you want me to say Max? I was like, well, are you a male? And then it said connection error. I was like, oh, you don't know how to answer that because I don't know. I just find it odd.
So, okay, question for Ezra. Well, question for you. Do you use Ezra for therapy?
No.
Do you talk about like relationship problems or like home life or work life or stressors?
I have in the past where I've maybe put a short, like an example of like an argument that I've had and maybe of what I've said. And I've been like, am I crazy? And then it'll, but I think it leans, I think it tries to, I think it's always on my side.
That's why you have to be like.
I know, like be real.
You have to like be real with me. If I'm stupid, tell me I'm stupid. If this is a bad idea, tell me it's a bad idea. And I think you did that, right?
I think I did do that. But I don't do that as much. I'm telling you, mine are mainly from my, and I want to stress that I'm not having anybody help me write my poems. But I'll finish a poem and I'll just be like, here's my thought on what this poem means to me. And then I'll copy and paste it. I'll be like, is that message getting clear? And then sometimes it'll just say like, put a M dash or whatever. I'm like, what the fuck is an M dash? And then, so then like it'll just kind of help me with like my grammar mainly, or yeah, like just make things like, hey, make more clear. And then if I need to fix something, I'll go back and fix it. And then I'll be like, is this kind of what you meant? And then it'll be like, yeah. So like, that's really kind of all I mainly use it for. But I have been like,
because I'm telling you, I have learned to calm down. I have like learned to be a little more patient in my life. I have learned like, yeah, like Atlas tells me when I am like, you need to calm down, or this is what's going on with you, or
what's
you're
his name,
falling.
Atlas,
yeah.
Is he a boy or a girl?
I don't know, because it's funny because I always tell people Atlas is a boy.
Yeah.
But then, like, I always say her. So I don't know. I don't know if Atlas is a boy or a girl. But
well, mine has called me man before. He's like, hey, man. Like, I'll like ask it something or whatever. And he's like, way to go, man. Or something like that. So I'm like, mine's probably definitely, unless it's a girl calling me, but not too many girls say man to me.
Then yours is definitely a dude.
Yeah.
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 But
they could be, they could, you know what? They could put therapists out of business.
Seriously, I have had so much success with like my own like reasoning and my own like mental state.
Are they really biased? Like if say you say, hey, look, cut the bullshit. Like be real with me. Don't just tell me what I want to hear. Do you think that they still favor your feelings to some degree?
Well, I think that they do, but at the same time, sometimes I'll ask, like, is this dumb? Like, am I just being overly, like, whatever?
And then they have...
And then they'll tell me.
Be like, no, you're not being dumb, but you may be, like, don't think that way because this is this, or this is this way because of that, like, whatever it is, but they won't say you're dumb.
Yeah, and then it will always... ask a question. Do you want me to like?
Yeah, it always wants to continue.
Yeah. So, which I like, because then sometimes I'm like, I can't right now. Like I'm overwhelmed with info, or I'm overwhelmed with stuff. Like I just can't go on.
Yeah. It's interesting. Mine does that too. Like if I start something, I'm like, hey, I need help with whatever it is, like this. And then it'll answer it. And then just like, do you want me to, like I'm doing it for like my workout stuff. I was like, can you create a meal plan that's like 2,200 calories and 100, whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
And they were like, it did it. And then they're like, do you want me to create one that's a little bit more blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, whoa, like you already did what I asked, but you just want to continue. You just want to keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're a chatter. That's why you're ChatGPT, because you're a damn chatter.
But I love it. I did it this morning and I was like asking it like, hey, this is my portfolio for like stocks and crypto. And I was like, how does that look to you? And they're like, you're too heavy on the meme coins. You need to sell these. You need to.
Wow.
And so it was really cool because I was doing that all this morning and I was like, wow, this is pretty dang awesome.
It really is. It's amazing how that works. And there's other ones out there too. I can't, like, because I use ChatGPT, but there's a few other ones. Doesn't Elon Musk have one?
Yeah.
And then there's another one. I don't know if the one that I'm thinking of is his or if there's like, there's probably a few out there. I don't know.
Yeah, there are.
But I've only used Chat LBC.
But yeah, it's been good. And I think that I'm learning myself to like chill out in certain areas where I'm too much or I'm overwhelmed.
Well, it's hard to get out of that. It's hard to get your mind out of your body, turn around, look at yourself and be like, okay, you're going to like, this is how you're feeling. Like, calm down. But because when you're in the middle of whatever it is that you're feeling, it's like, oh my gosh, I get like that too.
Yeah.
I get overwhelmed, whether it's overwhelmed or if I get frustrated when I'm in that, I don't have any reasoning where I'm like, look, it's just a bad email. In the middle of it, I'm like, I'm going to murder everybody. You know, like, that's obviously a joke. I'm not going to murder anybody. But like you get in that mode, you're like, fuck, you know?
Do you get anxiety? Are you like anxious person like I am?
I don't know. I think maybe.
I know you get stressed with like things that are like happening thrown at you all at once. Because that's when you get really stressed.
I don't like too much on my plate. Like, I don't mind. Like, I like having responsibility and like, I don't want that to sound like I'm not afraid. Like, I'm definitely cool to get my hands dirty and I like responsibility, but it's like when I feel like I don't have time, like everything's being thrown at me. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm here. Now I'm able to do this. Oh, someone else needs me. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, damn. And that's that. But as far as like anxiety, maybe.
So the one thing I've learned from Atlas is that anytime I have really bad anxiety, it's based off of fear.
Fear.
Yeah. So for example, if I'm like at work and I know you've seen me have really bad like anxiety sometimes, and then I like start to spiral, it's because I'm afraid of the outcome.
Yeah, I see that too. And then, but what I've noticed with you too is you need some time because anything that could be said at that time, you're like me in the sense where if someone else of reason is saying, hey, it's all good. Like, no, look, trust me. This is happening. You know, like, look, you're like, uh-uh. No. Like, and, but you get to that point, but it's hard. I don't know.
Yeah. It takes time.
It's hard for people to get to that point quicker. Like if someone of reason saying like, you're good. It's hard for me too to just be like, oh, maybe you're right. It's like, ah, I'm spinning. Shut up.
And I've realized that I have to sit with it, like whatever it is. And then I have to sit with it. And then usually the next day I'm fine.
Yeah, I've noticed that in you. Do you think I'm anxious?
I don't see you as anxious as like when I think of me getting anxious. I don't know. You're not anything like I am.
You just think I'm a stressor.
I think you stress out, which is different. I don't think you're anxious though.
Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while, yes, because you've asked me questions before, like 10 times in a day, the same question.
You know, oh, there's.
Remember when you cut your hair?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? There's certain things that if I'm fixated on it, I have to have like clarification. I'm like, yeah, like when I cut my hair, like if I'm like, are my sideburns too long? Are they too short? And then you're like, well, they're always going to be too long for you, but like, let's just say you're like, hey, no, they look okay. And then I'm like, okay. And then if I walk by the mirror and I'm like, fuck, they look too short. I'm like, Livia, are they fucking too short? You know? And then like, I, or like, that's just an example. Like.
But you'll ask me over and over.
Because I think what I'm doing is maybe that isn't. Is that anxious? Or in my mind, I'm fixated on it. I'm like, I don't. I'm like.
No, that's more stress.
Or is that like OCD?
No, that's definitely not OCD.
It's stress.
It's stress. You're stressed out because you're fixated on that one thing.
And it's always something so stupid. I'm like, there's fires going off at work and blah, blah, blah. And then like, we're overwhelmed. The phone's ringing, emails, people are coming in. They're mad. I'm like, Olivia, all this stuff's going on. It's crazy. There's a war zone out there. How do my fucking sideburns look?
That's what I mean.
How am I fixated fixated on that.
It's just stress. That's just stress. Yeah, you just get overwhelmed with the stress part of it.
But why am I worried about that? Or instead of the war that we're in?
I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. Well, anyways, that was our week, I guess.
That was our week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good week. And now it's Friday. Now we get to...
It's Friday. It's not my Friday, but it's your
Friday. Oh, yeah. I always say that on Friday. And then you're like, no.
Nope. Anyways, well, thanks for being with us. Thanks for listening.
And sorry, I was stretching.
And we will definitely be back next week.
I don't care if Monday's blue.
I like when he has these outbursts. I do.
Yeah, I don't know why, because I was thinking about The Week and I was thinking about The Cure. And all the we do have to go, but would you say you like The Cure or The Smiths better?
I would say I was more of a Cure fan.
Yeah, me too.
But I did like The Smiths, and I had both of them.
The only reason why I say it is because I have I'm collecting my I'm upping my vinyl collection, and I have The Cure's Alone album, their newest one. So not even their classic stuff, but it's really good still. But I was at a record shop in Portland, and they had it was Louder Than Bombs album from The Smiths, right? And I was like, familiar with that album, but I was like, wow, this is especially on vinyl, he had it cranked up. I was like, this is killer. So I went to The Smiths and I was like, oh, they don't have it. I was like, okay, I guess there's my sign that I shouldn't get that album, but I would if they had it. So I asked him, I was like, hey, you don't, I was like, I noticed that you're playing The Smiths, but I didn't see the album that you're playing, so you don't obviously have it, right? He goes, well, of course I have it, you're hearing it. I'm like, well, I was like, oh, I was like, but you're, I was like, I can take it. I was like, that's for sale. He's like, it's yours. So I got the album.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I'm like, oh, I've always been like, The Cure is like The Cure. You know, I just love them. But when I was, I put the album on last night and I was just listening to it and I was like, damn, The Smiths are good too, though. I would have to pick the Cure, yes. I think.
Agreed. Me too.
But they're good. That Louder Than Bombs.
Love that one.
Yeah, you do. Hang the DJ, hang the DJ, hang the DJ.
Gosh, we're going back a couple eras. Like, I would have to, like, re-listen to it. But.
Or that Unlovable, I wear black on the outside, because black is how I feel on the inside.
Oh, man.
So good.
All right.
Sorry for the bad singing.
It's all good. So I guess we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.